Fiona let out a terrible scream when the dragon's claws snatched her up into the air. She struggled with all her might to break free. These sisters. How perfect that I should have the last of them for my purpose, the dragon thought. Rovash angrily convulsed in the beast's grip, growling through gritted teeth at the thoughts they shared. He could see Fiona's anguish as she beat at the scaly talons that held her prisoner, but he was unable to speak or control his body. As the entrance of the cavern grew closer, Fiona went silent under the influence of the dragon magics, and Rovash's sight dimmed. There was nothing he could do to save himself from being shoved back into darkness when Sermanos invaded his senses. When the dragon lord arrived at the opening of the cavern carrying his prize, the twisted crowd cheered. He handed the collapsed she-elf over to his priests for preparation. "She is mine," Sermanos reminded them. His dark glare assured no one challenged his will. He could hardly wait to taste this one's body and blood when she finally came to him. He wanted to find his queen to tell her the good news. Fiona was brought to the pool and painted with blood and oils that made her skin turn red. She was revived so she could experience the sharp intrusion of the cultist's ritual. She found herself bound upon the altar in the audience chamber where the priests readied her for marking. The wounds burned like fire in the assault as their instruments stabbed black powder under her skin. Fiona's screams of agony echoed across the cavern, exhilarating men and monsters into obscene behaviors in the shadows. When she fainted from the pain, the priests woke her. They believed she needed to feel her complete transformation to truly be worthy of their lord. When the ritual was over, Fiona was given the salty, bitter-tasting drink that made her body lay still while her skin healed. Her mind sank into darkness as sleep came to ease her suffering. "Where is my sister?" Fiona cried as her eyes snapped open. She found herself screaming in a nightmare. It only took a second to realize that she wasn't dreaming. The reek of an indescribable stench was her first clue. Fiona touched the crusted scabs that ran down her arm and gasped in horror. As Fiona fully came to her senses, she realized she was locked in a cage next to the blood-soaked altar. Pain shot through her head as she stiffly sat up. "You bloody monster! Rovash! What have you done? Rovash!" Fiona yelled through the bars of her prison. She struggled to bend the metal apart with her bare hands, but they would not budge. Giving up in frustration, Fiona shook the cage until the chains rattled. She screamed curses into the darkened throne room. Her voice echoed back at her. "It is too hollow," Fiona thought. Suddenly, on full alert, she froze and took a look around. She was surrounded by stark emptiness, devoid of sound. Monsters and men lay silent where they fell to the floor. "Hush, my love," EJ's voice whispered in her mind. "They will hear you all the way back to the fort." With the clunk of a key, the door of the cage slowly creaked open. Fiona slid out, sobbing, into Ejim's arms. We have to help my sister. She is not okay. I can feel it. Fiona blubbered into EJ's ear. Shh, 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 he cautioned as he held her tightly to himself, knowing she might run off into danger. You must hear me now, Fiona. You and I, we cannot help anyone if we are made prisoners. Both of us have to be rid of this place. Escape is most important right now. EJ looked into her eyes to get his point across. His voice continued to whisper in her mind. He said he would explain as they left this place. This time, much to his relief, Fiona did not argue. They picked their way quickly along the wall toward the path that led out of the cavern. Remember the dragon. It waits, Ejlem softly spoke. He entwined his fingers together with hers, and with a nod to each other, they ran. Both yearned for the breath of clean air as they followed the long tunnel towards its end. The dragon cannot read minds. It cannot hear us talk to each other with mind speak. It can only cleverly guess and lead one into believing false truths. Do not listen if the dragon speaks, Ejlem coached Fiona as they swiftly made their way through the darkness. We must both run and escape past the dragon. No hesitation or all will be lost. He looked concerned at Fiona. Would you wear my armor? EJ offered to clothe her in his leathers to give her more protection. Thank you for your kindness, but no, I just want to be rid of this place. Fiona shook her head. The deep red of her dyed skin blended into the dark stone walls very well. It would keep her hidden until the last moment. The pair stopped just inside beyond the pacing dragon to gain strength. EJ gave Fiona some whey bread he had taken out of his pouch and handed her some water. She ate quickly as they readied themselves for the race of their lives. Behind them, they could hear the shouting of goblins and ogremen clamoring down the tunnel. Having found themselves duped by elven magic, they knew their lives would be forfeit if they did not recover their lost prisoner. I can hear you breathing, the dragon snarled. You must willingly give yourself back to me, or I will kill your sister. Fiona gasped at the dragon's words. No, it will not, Fiona. The dragon needs your sister alive. Ejlem focused her startled mind. He hugged her close to steady her. Do not listen, Fiona, he commanded, gently stroking her hair. Fiona sadly looked into Ejlem's eyes. They kissed once, and gripping their hands together, they ran. Lord Sermanos certainly does not like elves, but he does want to live, and until he can find a better solution to keep his human form, abducting bodies is the only way. Unless he gets into necromancy, we'll see about that. You are listening to Tales of Eldalorn, and I am your narrator, author, Carly Bond. I am reading for you Chapter 41, Broken Chain. The dragon, having been alerted to the prisoner's escape, arrogantly waited in the entrance, expecting to parley with a weak-minded prey. Much to his surprise, Aeslam and Fiona streaked past at top speed before the dragon could even turn around. The enormous black monster galloped after them, snarling and roaring obscenities as they fled towards the safety of the forest ahead. The men of the fort were waiting behind the line of trees. They fired off a full volley of firebombs and catapulted rock. They knew their assault would not kill the dragon, but the pain they inflicted would slow the monster down. They hoped to distract it enough so Aeslam and Fiona could escape. The fight began in earnest when the goblins and ogre men poured out of the tunnel toward the soldiers. The black drake, too young to spit fire, spun around, clawing and whipping its massive tail at them. Men and catapult went flying as it struck. "Fall back," was the order when Aeslam and Fiona were finally clear of the skirmish, but the dragon kept coming in a mad rage. Rovash's body fell limp to the floor in the private quarters of the dragon lord. Nalan ran to him. The spell that clouded her mind weakened with the dragon distracted elsewhere. Clasping her hands to Rovash's cheeks, she looked deeply into his face. "I can see you. Is it really you?" Nalan's eyes were huge with fear. Rovash lay horror-stricken, unable to move. "End me, Nalan," he ordered her, his face writhing in pain. "The dragon, it controls me. He would tear you to pieces before my very eyes as I am helpless to save you and forced to watch. Please, Nalan, end me now," Rovash begged. Nalan kissed her Rovash's lips for one last time and prepared herself to use his own dagger to pierce him through his heart. "I love you," Nalan cried, looking into Ro's true face. Their eyes sadly gazed into one another. Tears flooded over her hands as she held the dagger ready in what was their last moments together. An eternity of permanent separation of the true death would be their only solace from this nightmare. Rovash closed his eyes for the blessed release to come. Nalan hesitated that one split second, and it was too late. The dragon had returned from the battlefield and was back inside its lair. "No, no, no, no!" Nalan saw him change before her eyes. "Ha, ha, ha, ha," the dragon lord laughed. The blade of his weapon sunk deep into the palm of his large hand as he slowly peeled it out of Nalan's grasp. "Bad little queen." He jerked her face violently back by a thick handful of hair and planted a smothering rough kiss over her struggling mouth. His bloody hand smeared down the front of her bodice. "I'm sorry," he breathed intimately close through a gritted smile. She knew he wasn't sorry. Nalan spat the kiss right back into his face. "Your sister does not wish to see you." His voice pounded through Nalan's skull like a lion's roar as he tossed her aside. Her shrill scream filled the room as she slid painfully across the floor, hitting the wall hard. It knocked the wind out of her. "You will kill the little one," Nalan snarled at him through tears. She hung dazed on her hands and knees, angrily trying to right herself. "I will end myself before I will ever give you another body to use," Nalan hissed under her breath, now entirely out of the dragon's thrall. "I am sorry you feel that way." The dragon lord rose off the floor, stretching up to his full terrifying height. "Guards," he snapped, glaring hatefully at her. "I am through playing this game." Her pleasures had made him weak. She had become too much of a distraction. "She-elf, once again you prove your kind unworthy. This will be your last time." He spat, barely able to control his anger, but he needed this one alive for now. The mute attendants came rushing into the room. They locked their banished queen into a heavy collar and chains of iron, securing her to the wall of the bedchamber. Nolan could not move under the suffocating weight of it. "Watch her every action," he ordered, as he turned to leave. "You must understand your life is forfeit, little queen." His face cold and arrogant, no longer having to pretend. "Just know that I will devour your flesh with great satisfaction. I will make certain you live long enough to know the terror of your final end in my hands." "You monster!" Nolan screamed, wishing her words could cut him. The Dragon Lord only laughed at her as he turned and walked away to address his waiting forces. "The time has come to us," Lord Sermanos bellowed to his priests and generals as he strutted boldly to the audience chamber. The majestic black dragon perched above them in the mouth of the cavern echoed his words with roars over the crowd. The place filled with noise as a great shout arose and everyone moved quickly to ready their weapons and armor. "All will rue the day they opposed me," Sermano spoke from the stage. "Curse upon the mighty of Ilmatar and their self-righteous, shiny Edoleth and their weak, useless ruler," the Dragon Lord roared. "I am the one. I devised all things known to Ilmatar. The lords took from me my plans and called them their own." His followers rallied as he moved through the noisy mass towards his waiting drake. "It is right that I take back what is mine. Their High King has abandoned this realm to the whims of weak men and elves. It is nothing but a discarded pile of dung. We will take this land for ourselves," Sermanos yelled as he easily ascended to the top of the ledge. "Take this kingdom, and the lords will quake. Their feeble High King will soon come to destruction at my own hands." The monsters were driven to frenzy at their master's voice. "The time is now. We end them all." Lord Sermanos and his dragon turned and marched the merciless army through the tunnel passage, bringing his war to the realm of men. It seems the Fourth Age of Man is in for another war against the Fallen One and the Goblins' kingdoms. Well, you can't fault him for trying. Apparently, Lord Sermanos has been raging against Ilmatar and its High King since the beginning of time. Do you think the Dragon Lord might succeed in dominating the entire realm of Angheli? Yeah, click that follow button, and we'll see you next week. Bye-bye.